what happens? You have that rock that hides you in that safe place. And you have that personality that is with you in your heart. And you have that individual that loved you and died on the cross in your place. And so the one thing that I have noticed about the falling away, and we've been talking about it for years in this church, but now we're beginning to be able to see the footprint of it. We're beginning to see that how it's coming together and how the devil has blinded the minds of those that do not know the Lord. And what you're looking at is masses of people that, though they go to church, many of them have never heard the gospel. Many of them have never received salvation. Now, when I came into the knowledge that Jesus Christ saved me, I came through a revival. And it was glorious. I mean, the fires were roaring and the wind was blowing and everybody was excited about Jesus. And they talked about Jesus. They walked with him. They did mighty signs and wonders with him. And we saw people get saved, but at the same time, we saw people streaming out of the denominational churches that, that had never been taught about salvation. So the little home meetings grew and sprung up all over the world, not just in Jacksonville, all over the world. And these people were hungry for the Word of God because they had been in a famine for the Word. And so they wanted to know the Word. They wanted to know the Holy Spirit. And they wanted to know Jesus. But there was another thing that they wanted to know, and that was the power of the living God, because they hadn't seen any. But you see, the power of God, one of the signs of the great falling away is that the people will look for religion without the power thereof. They will look for G-O-D, God, denying the power thereof. Now, why would they do that? Because wherever the power of God is, He's there. His presence is there. And you see, there's a separation line between God and sin. And when people want to walk in sin, they cannot come into the presence of God. And so, they look for a form of godliness denying the power thereof. So salvation is a message for the lost. Now, it has been in the past in American churches that just about in every meeting you would hear an altar call. That was one of the primary things that happened in churches across America. Now, as you begin to watch Christian ministers on television, and if you visit other churches, you'll see that there's barely ever an altar call. Now, we don't make an altar call every time here because we know our people. But if we have new people in, we'll make an altar call. Amen? But the truth is that if you can't get them to the cross, you see, then the devil can fill them with his ideas and his ways and his religions, and they can walk around thinking that they're Christians, but they're not, you see. I heard a message on internet radio yesterday, as a matter of fact, and this man had read in the gospel that Jesus died for the whole world. The Bible says that. He came in John 3:16. God sent His Son to die for the world. But it says there that For those that believe shall have eternal life. And it says, for those that do not believe shall perish in everlasting fire. And so the Bible is very clearly laid out to show us that there are rewards with Jesus in heaven, and there's a terror with the devil in hell. And now, my sister, Grandma Essie, she knows that there's a heaven and hell. And so she has willingly gone to church all of her life. And I would say, just looking at her, that she's been a very faithful saint in the Lord. But I would also say, looking at her and knowing her grandson, Jerry Cook, I would say that Grandma Essie, one of the reasons that she went to church is to gather her family into heaven with her, because of the fact that we used to sing, "Let the circle not be broken," remember? And we would come up to the altar and just pray for our families to find Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not concerned about your family, the ones that are not here, the ones that are not saved, the ones that are out on alcohol, the ones that are on drugs, the ones that are doing this and doing that, then you cannot be concerned about the lost. You cannot be concerned about a city that only has 80% of the people coming to church. You cannot be concerned about the ones that are in church and in some of these big mega churches sitting under the spirit of spiritual blindness, of bewitching spirits, of hypnotic spirits, of worldly techniques that quietly lead them away from the truth of the word, where you've got people that are standing behind the pulpit that don't know the gospel themselves, that are up there leading the people. And Jesus said, if the blind leadeth the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. There are people falling into the ditch all over the world today. The people that are real, the people that are under the real gospel, are in a slumbering state as I speak to you. It's like, we deserve this. We deserve to be here because we believe in Jesus. But you see, Jesus talked about a people that would become spiritual giants just before he came. He, you know, you're just showing up to church is supposed to be a blessing to you. Amen? Some people come to church and they say, well, here I am. I've done my duty. I got a letter yesterday on my email. And this woman saying, why do we have to pay tithes? And you look around and you say, well, okay, we don't have to pay tithes, but who's going to pay the rent on the building? Who's going to pay the electric bill? Who's going to pay the telephone bills? Who's going to pay this and that and the other thing? The insurance, the CPA, the government. All of these little things that you pay on your house, you have to pay in a church. So if somebody can't figure out why you have to pay tithes, when in the Old Testament, it was clearly laid out that those were the causes that the church gave their tithes to for the taking care of the physical place where people met, plus the Levites who were the priests. This Levite doesn't get paid to stand before you. We've never had enough people to pay us a salary. We come here and do what we do because we love you. But that was just a little sideline to show you how blinded people are today. People never asked questions like that in the past. They would just go to the church and the pastor would preach. He would teach on tithes. But he wasn't living in $5 million homes and driving 5 and 6 cars and having a yacht and thinking all the money's supposed to come in to go on him either, you see. And the result of the tithing Christians that were real in our nation, you can look on every corner of any city and you'll see these great, beautiful churches that were built by the people of Grandma's age and beyond. People that diligently went to church and sought the Lord. And they were faithful to themselves and to Jesus and to their fellowship. Because you see, today the devil is in there stealing people right and left. Come to my place. I've got the best preacher in town. And you look at him and all he's preaching is, give me your money and God will bless you. Well, you see, the Bible tells us that God blesses us when we live holy lives. And you can hardly preach sermons on sin and holiness and sanctification. People don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want to go to church where I can go to church and do my thing. I want to serve Jesus the way I want to serve Jesus. Well, you see, the Bible tells us the way we serve Jesus. But listening on that internet yesterday, and just watching, I only watched about 5 minutes of two different preachers this morning on television. The Lord just showed me that our country is quickly sinking and slipping into grave darkness. And the church, generally speaking in our nation, is just about gone. And when I speak about the church, I'm talking about believers, people that really believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for them. So the man on the internet that said, you don't have to ask Jesus to save you. He's already saved you. He said, just one day you'll find out he did. Well, you know who's preaching that now? The Mormons. The Catholic Church preaches that. The Pope that just died preached that. He said, do you know that everybody believes that Jesus is their Savior, quote, whether they know it or not? That's a lie. And you see, when you die, suddenly you're going to discover the reality of Jesus Christ and His Word. And you're instantly going to know, the second you pass over to the other side, you will know whether you made it or not. You'll know whether you believed. And this internet preacher says, you don't have to believe. Yes, you do have to believe. You have to believe. But not only do you have to believe, but you have to see, you see, because of the fact that it's all right here in the Word of God. The Word of God is our map to heaven. And apart from the Word, there will be very, very few that will make it. Very few. But you see, what if all of a sudden somebody came and they got a map of Jacksonville, you see, and they said, well, you know something? I don't like the street called Dora. I think I'll call it Evelyn. And they just put Evelyn there. And then they look over here. I don't like the street called Truth. So I'll just put Lie there. And they begin to take the streets of Jacksonville and change the names and the meanings of the words that are printed on each street of Jacksonville, a map that will take you to where you want to go. And what if they did that? And you called them and said, I want to come and visit you. And they sent you their map because they liked their map. They didn't like the map of Jacksonville. And you come to Jacksonville, you would never find your way. And that's the way the church in our country is being run today. You've got dozens of these perverse Bibles of different people's ideas of what does the Bible mean, what does it say. Many of them have never been to any kind of foundation school to find out. Now, you don't have to go to a seminary to find out what the Bible means, but you do have to read the real Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that He gives us teachers. He gives us teachers. Okay? So if you got the proper elements of the true Word of God, I've always taught out of the King James Version. Millions of people have believed in it or in heaven, and I'm going to take my chances on that. But the truth of it is that the Bible is real. Jesus is truth, and He's real. And we're here sitting in a situation that most of our families are lost. Look into your own little family. Look at where they are. If that doesn't break your heart, then you may not be saved yourself. Because you see, the moment I got saved, the first thing I did is I went running to my family. Because I looked and I said, my God, we're all going to hell. And I ran over to my house, first thing to tell my dad, who was close to 80 at the time, did you know what? I found Jesus. Told my mother, told all my sisters, and I kept telling them over and over and over until they looked at me like, here comes the pest again. I had all of the various churches praying for them because at that time I was in politics and I was going around speaking about political issues. And I'd say, please pray for my family. My family's lost. And they would pray for my family. And you see, I had a burden for my household first. And then it poured over into the community and then into the United States and into the world because of the fact that the world is on a mountaintop coming down in a wheelbarrow on its way to hell. And if you don't have this burden for the lost, you don't feel the heart of Jesus. You may not be one that can go out and witness and do some of the things that others can do, but you could certainly be one that could pray for those that do. Amen? You could be one that could be faithful to the work that God has put you in. You could be one that would be faithful to pay your tithes. You could be one that would be faithful to love the people that God sends to the church, to make sure you're the one that runs over and shakes their hand and say, we're so glad you're here. I've been in churches where nobody even said hello, let alone shake your hands. So what do you have to do to have salvation? This is what you have to know. In John 1, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to be sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. Now, what do you have to do to be saved? Yes, Jesus was sent to save the world. The Bible says it's His desire that none perish, but yet people are perishing. What does it mean to be saved? It means to get in agreement with God. It means for you to believe the Word and get in agreement with the Word. And the Bible says that you have to believe that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for your sins. It's that simple. You have to believe that before you found Jesus, that you were a fallen being, that every single person that's born on the face of this earth is born in a fallen state. And that fallen state is from Adam's, the sin of Adam and Eve, right up until today, to your sin. And it gets to be very personal to you then. Because you see, if the sin of Adam and Eve caused the whole world to fall under the powers of the devil, and if God sent a Savior, a Redeemer, to the world so that He could rescue us, you see, it's up to us to reach out and grab the Savior. We have to reach out and grab it and let Him pull us into the boat. And so we have to repent from our own sins, and we ask Him to forgive all the sins of our family, and we receive Him as our Savior. As we ask Him to repent, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us. Now, this is where it gets difficult for Christians, because when you come up to the altar and you weep at your salvation, you feel something happening usually. Most people will describe it as feeling like the world lifted off of their backs. That's the way it felt for me. And what that is all of that sin is just taken off of you and nailed to His cross. That's salvation for you. But then, all of a sudden, as you begin to walk along with the Lord, you discover one of the most amazing things about yourself. And that amazing thing is this: you're not perfect. There's so many areas and so many roots down inside of you that you've accumulated all over your lifetime that God Himself has to do what the Bible calls sanctification. As an old-time Methodist, Grandma Essie would understand that word. Sanctification is a work inside of you where God cleanses you. But you see, even the cleansing of your vessel comes about with you walking in agreement with Jesus to do it. He won't step over your will. This is why you see so much sin in the church. Because of the fact that people say, well, you know, I do this, it's not going to keep me out of heaven. God loves me. I'm saved. Now, that might be true. He's not going to keep you out of heaven, maybe, for it. But the truth is that that might be as far as you get along the pathway with Jesus. Is you live your life in misery. A man described to me Friday that he just felt so much pain inside of him because he needed deliverance. Pain, P-A-I-N, pain, literal pain. And then as I began to minister deliverance to him, the pain left his stomach, and it went up and grabbed a hold to his back. Now, what is that? That means that something is in him that needs to be released. Something is in him that is holding on to him. Something is in him that has a right to be there. Okay? So it says, okay, I'm not leaving. Let all these others leave, but I'm staying. Now, when you have a spirit that's inside of you that you're hanging on to, that spirit has a right to lead your life. And what will happen, eventually it'll just lead you right back into wherever you were before you ever got saved. The devil is very, very smart. Now, the ones that last in church, like Sister Essie, who was probably in church most of her life, are the ones that come to the church faithfully and do everything that Jesus tells them to do, and they try to show the world, "I'm a Christian." If they cursed and used profanity before, they don't do it no more. If they stole before Jesus found them, they don't do that anymore. If they lied, they stop that. Now, that comes sometimes with a process even after they get saved. They get angry about something and slip and say a bad word. Well, if they don't stop in their shoes and repent from that and ask Jesus to forgive them for that and ask Him to help them to overcome that problem in their life, "Lord, I'm sorry I did that. I'm weak. You're strong. Please help me not to ever do that again." Then that will become a stationary part of their Christian life. They may still go to church. They may still pay their tithes. But they got a little black spot here. And whatever the little black spot is, you can bet your booties that the devil, any time that they get in front of a member of their family or a person that's been watching their lives to see if they're Christians or not, the devil will motivate that black spot to come forth out of their mouth, and people will look at them and say, "See, I knew you were a hypocrite, just like all the rest of them." People are looking for truth, and they're looking for someone to look up to. But mainly, they're looking for someone that truly does believe what they're teaching and truly does believe their faith. And so you have to get that black spot out. You've got to confess it to Jesus. Some people have to go on fast to get these areas of their lives under subjection. You've lived in the flesh all of your life. You want to do something, you just go do it. But now, it's displeasing to your Lord. You say, "But Jesus, my flesh wants to do it." Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to please your flesh or do you want to please Jesus? You have to make the choice. And a person that wants to please their flesh will be a person that sits in the pew and becomes known as the hypocrite, you see, because they won't let Jesus cleanse their vessels. He wants to sanctify you. He has saved you. In John 3, verse 3, it says, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, how many of you have ever seen a baby that's retarded? He was born. Mother holds him and rocks him. He grows up. Sometimes he doesn't even get to the level where he can talk. But he was born. You see, there are Christians that are born again that cannot talk their faith. They cannot walk their faith. They hardly even remember when Jesus touched their lives. But they were born again because they repented and asked Jesus to save them. They're retarded Christians, and they're Christians that, like Frank Sinatra said, "I'll just do this thing my way." Well, when you do it your way, you become a mess like he was too. Amen? Well, he had a lot of money. Had a lot of wild women running after him. Simmer down, man. But he also lost his place in the kingdom of God because he lived for the flesh instead of living for the Almighty God. So it's true in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And it's true that if you reject him, you're not going to heaven. And all pathways do not lead back to God. There are so many Christian churches now that are saying that. there are famous Christian men that you've listened to over the years that are no longer preaching that Jesus is the only pathway back to God. They believe if you're a Hindu, they believe that if you're a Muslim, they believe if you're a Mormon. My God, we've got a Mormon priest running for office, the highest office in our land. Nobody's upset about that. We've got a congressman that was elected to office that wanted to swear on the Quran. Only a very few people got upset about that in our country. If you can't see that there is a line of demarcation, that plumb line is being laid that's going to separate the real from the phonies, the real from the false, the real from the pretenders, the real from those who just speak but they don't know what they're talking about. There's a plumb line being made in America. And I want to be on the side of Christ. Do you? Do you want to be on this side of the plumb line? Or do you want to sit under a ministry where somebody is talking about some of the most boring things that you've ever heard in your life that has nothing to do with the Word of God? It's like all of a sudden a whole bunch of motivational speakers have been unleashed. Some of them are not educated, some of them are, and they get up there and talk about these things, and you're sitting there and you say, my God. And the people are entranced in those messages. Why? Because they've gathered, the Bible says, they gather teachers to tickle their ears. And the Bible says that they shall teach doctrines of demons. And they're doing that as I speak to you today. People that come to this church, you know that. People that come to this church, you know that you're here because we preach the gospel, we led you to Jesus, and we keep preaching sermons that will build you up on your most holy faith. We keep preaching sermons that you'll say, you know something, I didn't feel good in church today. I squirmed around in that whole sermon. Well, that was for you. Because the ones that it didn't apply to, they felt good because they were hearing the Word of God. So if you hear something coming from this pulpit that makes you squirm, you need to go to your knees and fast and say, God, why didn't I feel good today? These are good sermons. These are feel-good sermons to know that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for you so that you don't have to go to hell. That's a feel-good sermon to me. How about you? Amen. Amen? I don't want to hear about the preacher's car. I don't want to hear about his great big house. I don't want to hear about his jet planes. I don't want to hear about his wife and his kids. I don't want to hear about sex that is not pure. I want to hear the Word of God. And so you pray for yourselves. And you pray for this church. And you pray for this pastor. Because if you don't think that it's very, very discouraging to preach the Word of God, and I know that I preach the Word of God, and come to Miracle Outreach and see what I see today, after I saw what I saw on television, I have to seek the Lord constantly just to stand, just like anybody else. But you know, I know that Jesus is real, and I know that what I'm preaching is true. But it's discouraging. So you need to pray for your church. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to look around and see who's not here. You need to pray for each and every one of them all week. Maybe they were too weak to come to church. You know, there's some people that just can't get up and come. They say, well, you know, I just don't feel like going today. Pray for them. Pray for those people. They need to be here. And we need them here. You see, if you're going to have a church means people that come together to worship the Lord and to hear the Word of God. And the few people that come and dedicate themselves to this work, we need more than that. Some of them are very tired. Some of them work several jobs and still are very faithful. Time comes, they're sitting here, they're doing their jobs. You would never notice them because you haven't taken a moment to notice them, you see. Jesus is saying that it's his desire that none perish. And that means the people that come to this church, your families, our neighborhood, our city, and our nation. That's what his desire is today. And these people that are gathering the big crowds, we need to pray for those churches because Jesus said that he's going to give a call. Come out of her, my people. What does that mean? That means people like Grandma Essie. And she may not have relatives in those churches, but there are many people like Grandma Essie that are diligently praying. Their people are sitting in churches, but they're not real churches. They're sitting there being fed a bunch of psychology, a bunch of hypnotic stuff. They're sitting there being fed a bunch of merchandising of their pocketbooks. They're sitting there under the powers of entrancement, which means hypnotic powers. Train people in the ways of controlling crowds so that they can keep them entranced and keep them under the powers of the devils until it's too late for them to make a response to the cross. There are people sitting in that condition in the churches as I speak to you today. We have to pray. We have to know that Jesus Christ loves us. He saved us. He put us in a safe place. But we cannot take it for granted. If you take it for granted, it'll be gone. Because God will only work to the extent that you appreciate his work. You see? Pray for those people that are not here and pray that he'll send new ones that need us, that need to hear the word. Like back in the 70s, they were hungry for the word. I say that there's going to be people coming out of those dead churches, those hypnotic churches. Jesus is going to give a call and he's going to say, come out of her, my people. And when he does, he's going to separate his people from the fake. Because that demarcation line that we're seeing, that plumb line that we can see so clearly in the Christian churches today that are sitting under these false ministers today are sitting there intermixed with believers and non-believers. Not where wheat and tares, pure unbelievers and believers. And God says, I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. And the only thing that's going to get the wrinkles out of somebody's garment is the Word of God to get them cleansed, the blood of Jesus to cover them, and commitment to his cross and his cause. I hope I helped you today. Amen.